Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
It's a good thing that I was never like on a space shuttle mission where I had to hit the right button at the right time.
One of those things.
Yeah.
Right. Because this is the third time that I hit the wrong button starting the show in a row. And this is the third time that I had to start the show because of that. So I'm just giving you a little behind the fourth wall of sometimes it's a struggle on a Sunday afternoon.
Is that the name of the show?
Yep.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, sir. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not a catchy title for a show.
No.
Freddy's like, it doesn't need to be catchy. I'm an artist.
Right. This is art.
And I'm struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty comical. If you're into laughing at people.
Freddy tried to gaslight me and Kelly. Like, yeah. Is your mic on? Is it? I can't hear you guys.
You guys are muted, I swear.
I'm like yelling, I can hear Andy.
Yeah, I can hear Kelly fine. And Freddie, we can hear Freddie talking about us. Yeah.
Just laughing.
I'm just like
can you guys? I can't hear you guys. Oh, no. What are we going to do?
He's such a bully.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel so picked on.
Freddy. You shouldn't. We love you.
No, I know. I don't ever feel picked on.
Okay.
Even when we're picking on you?
Hi.
No. Hi. What?
I said even when we're picking on you, yeah.
Especially when you're picking on me.
You don't feel picked on.
You're very bad at it.
Yeah, well, it comes from a place of
now
love.
I'm picking on you.
Yeah.
You got me.
I got you.
You burned.
Boom. You burned.
You cut.
You toasted. Toasted to a light brown.
Oh,
golden brown.
Oh, shit.
You're ready to take out. Broiler.
You're making me hungry.
Right. Yeah. Hi, listeners and patrons who are listeners and listeners who are patrons.
Lucy Lou's baby girls.
Welcome to them and to this Night of the Living podcast episode end of March.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a feedback loop today. Mm-hmm. And there's some very boring news. Just the most boring of boring news. Like, there's so little out there that isn't just a trailer, but a lot of interesting trailers. I won't even say interesting, but a lot of trailers are being released. So if you're into that,
Suicide Squad trailer looked fun.
Suicide Squad trailer does look fun. And I'm hesitant. Like, I'm very hopeful. Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm very hopeful because, of course, James Gunn is a good director and a good writer. And it felt very similar to the first trailer for the first film, which was an amazing trailer. The trailer is so much better than the movie. So I'm hopeful, but I can't say based on that trailer. Yeah. I can't go, well, the trailer is great, so it's going to be great, but we know that.
Sure.
You've been hurt before.
We don't want to, we don't want to relitigate Combrink v. Suicide Squad 1. We're not here to do that. We're just here to interpret the current law as it is.
Well, it's double jeopardy. They can't be charged again.
Right.
You already got us once.
It's funny you should say that, Kelly, because Andy and I were having this conversation of like, I've aged out of giving a shit about these big universes where if you can just give me one good movie, I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, same.
I don't even have to know. I can skip movies in a series at this point in my life where I'm like, I don't even need to see that. I'll figure out what happened. If I don't, you know what? That's fine too. My imagination can just run wild with it.
There's a shit ton of Marvel movies I haven't seen.
Yep. Well, I've seen all of those, but
I won't do that with Marvel though. No,
Marvel is the exception to that rule. I just don't feel obligated to.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's drawing me. I don't feel like, oh, there's something in me where I have to see the rest of the story.
Now, I will see every movie in the new Godzilla universe, the Monarch universe.
Yeah.
But that's only because that's Godzilla movies.
Yeah. If you're invested in something, then you're going to put the time and effort in. I'm not invested in the DC universe, so I'm not going to care.
Yeah.
Not because I'm just like a DC, the Marvel person.
Mm-hmm.
Famous lawsuit. But
I do.
But like, I've been burned too many times. I'm burnt.
You burnt.
Yeah, you burnt. That's what the Marvel, the DC movie said to me after I watched them. Mm-hmm. Like that, the after credits popped up and they said, you burnt.
Which is I was just going to say, I want to ask this of you guys. Which is a worse like set of movies? The Star Wars prequels or what DC has been putting out recently?
Prequels. Kelly was like, the Star Wars what? Those don't exist.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I probably would say the Star Wars prequels. Although there's a lot of, like, I really didn't enjoy anything about any of those, hardly at all. The only things I enjoyed about the Star Wars prequels were where they kind of nodded to things from the originals. And right. It was just like very small moments. There were like Suicide Squad is not a good movie, but there are things about it I like. Batman versus Superman, not a good movie. There are a few things about it that I like. And I'm trying to think what other DC movies I've even seen other than like the Batman one specifically.
Shazam is very good.
I did want to see that. I haven't seen it. So yeah, I think the Star Wars prequels probably, and again, for me, I'm more of a Star Wars fan than I am a DC comics fan. So it was also more disappointing for me, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I think the Star Wars prequels are definitely worse because I have investment in that universe.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any investment in the DC universe. So if it's a bad movie, I don't care.
It was a deeper betrayal from George Lucas.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Oh, my back. Somebody stabbed it.
Oh, dear. Ooh,
not your back. I'm really enjoying the Harley Quinn series, though.
The animated show?
Twice before, yes. Yes.
I love that show.
It's so great. And they're supposedly hopefully rebooting Batman, the animated series for HBO. And
they
do it in a similar way. Well, because Harley Quinn is basically just Batman, the animated series, but R-rated.
And really funny.
And not focused on Batman. Yeah, and funny. More, you know, certainly more comedic. So hopefully, I think their animation division does really, really well. And I love Kaley Cuoco as Harley Quinn. She fucking nails it. Like, it's really a good natural performance.
She turned a character that was just like chattel into like a likable rounded out character on that show. Well, her and the writers obviously, but like,
yeah,
what they did with Harley Quinn, I feel like they turned that so on its head, what you expect that character to be. It was really refreshing.
I've always enjoyed her character. Again, even when the animated series first was on and they introduced her, I was like, oh, that's fun as a kid. So I don't have any beef with the Harley Quinn character, and I don't really think about like any of the stuff around, any of the real life stuff that surrounds comic book character types like that. You know what I mean? Right. There's all kinds of there's deeper things you could talk about with, you know, characters, but I don't really think about any of that when I'm reading comics or watching stuff like this. So, I've always liked her. But this show, I think is the best representation of that character by far.
So is the Harley Quinn animated series, is it the same Harley Quinn that's in the movies?
No, the character's very different.
But is it the same, costume and everything, the daddy's girl shirt?
No. They use that to make a point on the animated series about that was the Joker manipulating her and making her dress a certain way, like that she was a sex object, kind of, and just his pawn. And it's about her. It's a feminist kind of story where it's about her standing on her own two feet.
How Harley got her groove back.
Yeah. It has a lot in common with the Mary Tyler Moore Show, really, when you think about it. Well, Kelly's frozen. I thought he was just like, he's really like, not, yeah, or not agreeing with my point, and he's just frozen. He's like, I'm going to wait for him to finish to say that that's wrong. And he's still frozen. Or is he fucking with us?
He's frozen.
He's really frozen.
Yeah, but that's fine. He'll come back to us soon enough. Well,
can I ask you guys, do they delve into why she's named Harleen?
Oh, yeah, because her name just happens to be the pun, essentially. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a joke about that. It's very much the perspective on the animated show is a cynical fan's take on what it all is. So like everything's ridiculous. All the stuff you joke about when you see these movies where you're like, that's stupid. Yeah. In the series, they really are like, yeah, it is stupid. We're going to double down on it being stupid. And the other characters understand that it's stupid. It's really fun.
All right. I just want to, every time that she says her name, Harleen Quinn, I'm like, I have to roll my eyes a little
bit. Her name's Harleen Quinzel.
Okay.
You remember? Yeah. It's very tongue in cheek.
Well, I don't want to talk about it anymore because I find it so very boring.
Well, that's fine. You know what? Maybe we can front load the show with our feedback because I have a lot of that while Kelly is getting reconnected. Normally, we would do this near the end of the show and Kelly would start with news, but we'll do it now.
Oh, my gosh. Can we handle this?
I think we can.
As people?
Jim.
Oh, my gosh.
And we didn't
the world's upside down.
We didn't have. Yeah.
Reporting on Australia. It's like we're recording in Australia. Mm-hmm. Everything's backwards.
We didn't have feedback last month, so some of these are regarding things that we did in January.
Oh, my God. Now you're adding time travel?
Time travel. That's right. Mm-hmm. Jim Bolding emailed me about TikTok because I had mentioned it back in January that I had started a TikTok account. I still only follow the beaver and the lady with the conversion van.
Okay.
And I don't even really open it anymore. I just go to Twitter, and if there's something
you
great
are
on
an
there,
old man.
I shouldn't even say Twitter. ADD. I don't use Twitter or Facebook much anymore either. I go to Reddit.
There you go.
To get that fix, which I guess means that's about to become obsolete for hipsters and young folk.
Oh, Freddy's into it. We have to be done. Yeah,
that's what they do. Yeah. But I said I listened to the new show, and it's the first time I had heard you talk about TikTok. I don't post on there, but I follow a few accounts, including Beeve. That's the one I follow. And Divine on the Road, if that's the camper living account you're talking about. I don't even know the account name, honestly. Okay. I think it's just the lady's name. I put a few below that I like. I don't know if you will like them or not, but there might be a couple that pique your interest. The first is two cats, and they have a wake-up video every day with text. Second is two dogs with cute videos. These are all my alley. Third is three huskies. With text put in their insane howling. Fourth is a Russian guy showing items in stores, talking about Russia, etc. Fifth is an English guy on a weight loss journey. He's lost 70 pounds so far, and he'll show this his dinner breakfast. Have a weigh-in every Thursday and do other videos. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
1980s gamer is a lot of nostalgic 80s, 90s stuff. And then the last one is vet tech. Interviewing dogs and cats. The usernames are Beauty and the Bean.
Are you serious?
Suki. No, I'm just kidding. So
that sounds like a lovely list because that's all puppy dogs and then interesting things. Hi, Kelly.
Kelly's back.
Jesus.
We decided
the internet got so mad at me for saying that I liked Harley Quinn that it kicked me out of the bar.
So we went ahead and started feedback, and then we figured we'd do the news after.
Yeah.
We had a message from Brandon. He said, I'm writing to thank you all for a number of things. One, for allowing me to pick a movie for you to discuss. And if that's something you're listening and you're like, I want to pick the movie, just sign up for our mailing list, notlp.com. Scroll down till you see Dracula. Sign up there. And
you don't even have to be a patron.
No, you don't have to. No, it costs you nothing. That will put you in our mailing list, but we also draw a random mailing list subscriber every theme that we do to pick one of the movies.
God, I just feel like
you're you don't get spammed. By
I am
the way.
Talking if, a lot.
That's, yeah, you'll never get spammed by us. Thank you, Kelly. Because
if you sign up, you get barely. And I don't mean that. That's not an indictment, Amy. Like you just because nobody wants a bunch of newsletters.
It is an indictment because I think Freddie wants me to do it once a month, and I'm like, I'll do it when the mood strikes.
I'm gonna let Amy to take over this this email reading
when
part.
When the mood strikes.
Where I left off, number two.
Oh, okay. So yes, Brandon said, thanks for allowing me to pick a movie. And he says, for saying such wonderful things about me during the episode. And for handling Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein with such affection.
Aww.
When I was a little boy growing up in Eastern Kentucky in the 80s, it would not be much of a stretch to say I was obsessed with the classic Universal monster movies. This is thanks partly to the Remco action figures, but mostly to Julian May and the series of children's books she wrote and published under the pseudonym of Ian Thorne. My elementary school library had several of them, and the local library had the rest. I checked them out and read them countless times. Far from being frightening, I found them fun and entertaining. This from a kid who used to run out of the room in terror whenever a trailer for a horror movie came on TV. These books were even more valuable because I had no way of seeing the movies themselves. Our local video rental stores did not have them, nor do I ever remember being able to see them on television. Others of my generation remember fondly watching these movies.
They were hard to find.
Yeah. Remember fondly watching these movies on Saturday or Sunday afternoons, but I never had access to any of them. Except one. One video rental store, Movie Connection, had one copy of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. That meant that not only did I get to see Bud and Lou for the first time, but I got to see Dracula, the Frankenstein monster, and the Wolfman on my television screen. Moving and talking and being awesome, not just as photographs in a book. That's like such a beautiful, like...
That's a great
thing.
It's like when someone writes about coming to America for the first time.
Yeah.
Like
what
like,
a great movie that is too.
That too, but I meant like literally. Right. It's like, and then I came to Ellis Island and they really did have hot dogs.
Oh, I really thought you were talking about the movie.
See?
I came to Ellis Island and they played the Eddie Murphy movie.
They played it on Ellis
America
Island
for me.
That's the orientation when you get to this country, so you know what to expect.
My brother Aaron and I rented and watched that movie over and over and over again. Later, we would see the rest of Abbott and Costello's Meet the Monster movies and their other movies too, but Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein will always be my favorite.
I think it's the gold standard.
It's real good.
He also sends a PS. When Freddie notified me that I had won the raffle and got to pick a movie, he specified in his text message that there were no restrictions. I could pick whatever I wanted, and then he actually wrote the words, "No holds barred." So I was very, very close to picking No Holds Barred. Be thankful I came to my senses. Is that the...
That's the wrestling movie. With Tiny Lister.
Right? Yeah.
I've never seen it. It's funny. It's not...
Rest in peace, Tiny Lister.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep. That was just
also Jessica Walter and Yaphet Kotto.
Yes.
Yaphet Kotto, Jessica Walter.
Somebody else... Beverly Cleary,
George Siegel. Oh,
yeah. George Siegel, yeah.
Larry McMurtry.
George Siegel died?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Like last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost Pops.
Or this week. Yeah. I know. And I just, the episode on Wednesday of the Goldbergs featured him pretty heavily. And I'm like, what? Oh,
I really love George Siegel. That's really too bad. I mean, it's all of them. It's too bad, obviously, right, when anyone dies. But bummer, man. Yeah. Bummeroni.
Bummeroonie, man.
Bummeroonie, y'all.
I had a big old bowl of Chef Boyardee's Bummeroonie just now.
I mean, all cans.
Right out of the can. You don't even heat it up.
Well, that's when it is a Bummeroonie, when you're eating it directly out of the can.
Bummeroonie is a dish best served cold.
It can only be served cold. You try to heat it up and it still stays the same temperature.
Like the old Klingon saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know how they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have anything else, babe? Or?
As far as feedback goes, no, but I wanted to. Wait. Yes, actually, I do. Carla Gibson, she says, "Hi, all. Thanks so much for doing this film talking about Oculus."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boy.
"It's one of my favorites, and I was lucky enough to catch its premiere as part of the Toronto Film Festival Midnight Madness series, which I've always wanted to go to."
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Now, especially more so than ever, because I'm going to get
now more than ever
travel fever
in this economy.
"You can imagine how well a midnight screening crowd took to this film. Since you didn't mention it, and Kelly said how this felt like a short story, according to the internets, it was supposed to be a series of short films. So Mike Flanagan did a 30-minute short film that provided the background to the mirror and some spooky shenanigans to prove he could direct. It's called The Man with the Plan and is worth checking out. It's on YouTube. All the best, crew. Keep up the great work, Carla.
Thanks, Carla, and thanks for the recommend.
Thank you.
You guys want me to read you my fence estimate? That's the next email in my inbox. I did want to say that's, yeah. Those are all the emails that we had, but I wanted to welcome Morgan Swain to the Patreon group.
Welcome.
Yeah, and Ed Wilcox also increased his pledge amount, so he is now in a new class there. So thank you for doing that.
My goodness.
Ooh, Ed.
People are getting excited about your merchandise. I think, Kelly. That or they're just good. They're good people.
I got one piece left to design.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
But I know what I'm doing for it.
Mm-hmm. Book corner tote.
That's right. Book lovers.
Wouldn't it be nice if I ever did a book corner?
You're getting a book. We're gonna.
I'm ready to do one.
I have things in the hopper.
Me too.
You know,
imaginary friend, if you could read it real quick.
I'll tell you, like, since the pandemic hit, my reading output has taken a huge nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
But I have read a few things that I would love to talk about.
That's odd because everybody else is saying the opposite. They're like,
my attention span is like for shit.
Well, I haven't read much in the last few. My eyesight is not awesome and has gotten, you know, it's harder for me to read now. And so I just finally got an iPad to get excited about reading, and because I can use that and really like.
You can jack that text big time.
And I can read comics. That was really one of the biggest reasons. But also now books again. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my reading output has stayed exactly the same before and after the pandemic.
Oh, Andy.
Which is none.
Cereal
boxes. Cereal boxes count.
Oh, Jinx and Zalo.
Cereal boxes count. So does your social media. I mean, reading is reading, right?
And it's fundamental.
Like the back of like a shampoo bottle if you're shitting and you forgot
your phone.
Because you are learning what you're putting in your hair. That counts.
You have to reach over to the shower and grab the shampoo bottle. Yeah. Ooh, what's in this?
I've read everything
water.
In arm's length of my toilet before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's happened.
Not since the Apple Watch,
your
though.
Toothbrush. You're like, look at the design work on this.
Like, this
toothbrush
is amazing
handle.
Engineering cleverness.
I wonder how they make molds for toothbrushes. I wonder what factory molds the plastic handles for toothbrushes and how they get the bristles in. There's got to be a how it's made about it.
Yeah. If you heard that little squeak, that's Millie. She has her shoulder. She has muscle spasms right now.
Oh.
Just started yesterday, so we're keeping an eye on her. But I'm going to have to take
it's the weather.
She's whining a lot. Yeah, the weather things makes it worse.
My poor little shmumble.
I've been giving her massages. I try to ice it.
Freddie found out that dog masseuses are a thing.
They are.
Yeah.
And he was like, why is this not my job? And I said, figure it out, buddy. I'll support you.
So cute. Mm-hmm. You think they put their face in the little hole
massage table? When are they have a dog massage table?
A little snout's poking out.
I just hate it when she's in pain.
Yep.
And then you're like, you tell the dog and dress to your comfortable level.
Yes, and then to cover herself and let her, Millie would let you know by a little like soft roof when she's ready.
She came over here like she's like, I'm ready for my next massage.
Oh, my poor little schmumble.
Oh, you can imagine they got those little towels wrapped around their head and the cucumber slices on. Mm-hmm.
They eat the cucumber.
Let's open a doggy spa.
So if you want to help pay for my dog's massages, sign up for our Patreon. No, I'm doing them myself. Yeah. Thank you. Just the way our forefathers massaged their dogs. Deep tissue. I'm giving her a Swedish dog massage.
You're an amateur dog masseuse.
Yeah.
It's non-therapeutic.
I feel like, because I have the same problems, like my shoulders are really bad. And I feel like right now, she and I are very connected through this experience. Like I'm massaging her rotator cuff. Like,
sympathy pains.
Yeah. Mm. It's very similar. I'm glad that I loosened up enough that I can help her with her pain.
You know,
you guys are both old dogs.
Yeah.
Freddie was like, well, I'll make her a super bed. And he like put a one dog bed on top of another dog bed.
We have three dog beds and I stacked all three of them.
Well,
at
I think
one
three
point.
Was a bridge too far for her.
Maybe.
But two, and he's like, all right, Millie. And then Elsa immediately took that bed.
She did.
Yeah.
Did she put a pee underneath?
I thought about the princess and the pee when I was doing it. Yeah.
We'll find out who is this princess.
My poor baby. Dogs, man.
Has anybody just had like a weird week? It's just been a weird week.
Been a real weird week.
I don't even remember this week.
I just worked, even though I was on vacation this week, I somehow managed to spend every day but today working.
And Andy helped us out with some yard work. So you're helping us. Yeah, it's just been a weird week. Like a not terrible week. It's just been a weird week. But it did start with my vaccine. Huh?
It's very productive.
It was productive, but I haven't really like done any relaxing.
I recorded
like last night.
Yeah, what'd you do last night?
We went over to see Mikey.
Nice.
And he made me mic ties, like he likes to do. I love a mic tie.
Who doesn't?
But anyway. What were you saying, Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh, just that I recorded most of a new song this week. That's all I did.
Ooh. As if it's for the obliging victims?
Yep, it's one of the last three on the album I'm putting together. So after this,
then right after the pandemic, you can start touring again.
Yep, that's right.
It is your new music is so good, Kelly. I want to make sure that everybody listening knows to, if you just probably Google the obliging victims, you're going to find the two EPs that Kelly just released.
They're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music,
Pandora, Amazon. They are everywhere.
Did you put them on our YouTube channel?
I'm working on YouTube lyric videos for them so that people, because I also know a lot of people when they're sharing online, they do like to share YouTube links because not everybody pays for a streaming service. Right. So I am working on that, but I want to make them also interesting. If you're going to have a lyric video, make it interesting. So I will put those on the YouTube, but I have to upload them first.
Ooh, I can't wait to see all the misspellings you put in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying very hard with this.
Judging by how you text.
Yeah.
I'm just going by how you text with your big thumbs.
Yeah. They're going to be like, what is that lyric? And you're like, that's not even what it is.
So when you were saying that news was sparse, is there news? Should I?
There is.
Will you go into news? Let's do some.
You want to hear some of it? I mean, it's not interesting, but yeah.
Okay. You know, we'll do it.
Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I think something is happening. There are
people he kills. Get up and kill.
Remember, human beings are their food.
That was loud.
Was it really loud?
Hi, everybody.
Was that loud for you?
That's okay. I just take my headphones off.
I can still hear it really well. Take his headphones off and then move them as far away from his head as possible. And I'm like, I guess it's loud.
Well, it was, but it's okay now.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So as I said, news is like what? Like there's... mostly just a lot of trailers being released, but this is a thing. This is only semi interesting to me. That's how I choose the news stories that I choose, listeners. If you're new, or you know, I haven't said that in a really long time. I only pick news that's interesting to me, and there's almost none of that. So only one about this was interesting to me. It was Andy Serkis, but it's also one of the only things that's like an actual thing. So there's something called The Last House on Needless Street, and Andy Serkis has optioned the Catriona Ward novel. So I don't know what any of that means, but I'm intrigued.
So all you saw was Andy Serkis and your eyes popped, like widened and like, ooh.
Well, I put together, so there's a book and it's Andy Serkis and the title is kind of cool. So I was, oh shit, I just lost it. No, I'm back. So that is how I kind of put it all. But Andy Serkis was the main driving factor because I love him, and I think he's a good director and a good actor.
What did he direct? He's a clickbait for you.
He is. What?
I know he directed something, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, he directed that second version of the Jungle Book, that live action Netflix.
Oh, I really liked that.
That wasn't super well received.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, we saw the Jungle Book. Disney one.
I saw the Disney one.
Oh, yeah. He didn't. That's not the one he directed?
Nope. He did a whole separate one that came out on Netflix.
We were clamoring.
Like two, three years after.
The Asylum?
Well, I think they were being made at the same time. But of course, you know, if somebody gets to choose who puts theirs out first.
Yeah. It was the Vegetation.
Disney beats Andy Serkis.
Pamphlet.
Yeah.
But he, and he also, he did a lot of the second unit direction actually on the Hobbit movies, mm-hmm. which again, I know are, you know,
my favorites.
They're controversial, but, he's just great. I think he's very talented. And, so Catriona Ward is a writer who wrote something called Last House on Needless Street, okay. which is also, it's also similar because it's close to the title of an exploitation movie that I like. Which is Last House on Dead End Street. Now I'm just rambling. So anyway,
what?
This is Catriona Ward's third novel. There was one called Raw Blood and one called Little Eve. No, yep.
Okay. Little Eve.
The synopsis of this is Ted, who lives with his daughter, Lauren, and his cat, Olivia, in an ordinary house at the end of an ordinary street. And then there's a period. And then it says, an unspeakable secret binds them together. And when a new neighbor moves in next door, what is buried out among the birch trees behind their house will come back.
Birch babies, birch babies, baby, birch babies.
Stephen King apparently praised this novel.
I heard that Weta is designing the birch babies.
Yeah? Did you really hear that?
Oh. I don't know. Is a birch baby really a thing?
I don't think so. Shit, I keep going off of the article. Hold on.
I heard the Birch Boys are doing the soundtrack.
It's Birch Backrack.
We are performing a sloppy show, but that's okay.
Yeah. Sloppy show.
They can't be perfect.
Is the news ever less sloppy than this?
Sloppy show, meatloaf sandwich.
Oh, God, get out of my house.
So anyway, Andy Serkis is developing this. Okay. It sounds haunty. Stephen King liked it, and I like him a lot. So
there you go.
You know, I'm interested now. Maybe I'll read one of these books. I do want to say that whoever wrote that press release did a bad job. Ted, who lives with his daughter, Lauren, and his cat, Olivia, in an ordinary house at the end of an ordinary street. That's one sentence.
Also, that isn't that the old Poltergeist tagline from the old trailer?
Is it? An ordinary house on an ordinary street? It might be.
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
But I mean, that's just it's like they meant to say something else and forgot. And then it went past like an editor and a director of marketing. And then it just was out there because the person that wrote it probably got yelled at for it.
Then, I think it was very nice that they named the cat. They didn't have to, but they said, yeah. The cat Olivia.
Aren't you glad?
Like, oh, thank you.
Aren't you glad they didn't say banana? So anyway, look forward to that.
I will.
So here's more news. Here's more news. Them trailer. I'm not going to show the trailer because I can't show it to you. But Amazon Prime has a new horror series called Them. It sounds like it's an anthology series in the vein of American Horror Story, where it's a different story, I guess, each
season.
Yes. And so the synopsis on this bad baby is from breakout creator Little Marvin and executive producer Lena Waithe. Them is a limited anthology series that explores terror in America. The 1950s set first season centers on a black family who moves from North Carolina to an all-white Los Angeles neighborhood during the period known as the Great Migration. The family's idyllic home becomes... Now, see, this is how you write a synopsis. The family's idyllic home becomes ground zero, where malevolent forces next door and otherworldly threaten to taunt, ravage, and destroy them. See, all of those were complete sentences.
Yeah.
So
nicely constructed.
Yeah, it was well done. So, that sounds pretty cool.
Right? Sure, absolutely.
I like
it. Who's it star?
I'll watch it.
Let me see if it tells me who is in this.
There's this other horror right series on Amazon now called The Boarding School.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Los Cumbres.
Yeah, yeah, looks kind of cool.
It does.
They need to stop making stuff. There's just too much out there.
Well, this I think was it's a Spanish series that they bought, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't really know much about it, but it does look pretty cool.
It does. Oh, here I think I found that trailer, Kelly. Let's see if that's how it starts. On a regular house or whatever it was.
The house looks just like the one next to it.
Oh,
and the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Yeah, they can a kiss.
They fuck and they smoke weed in it.
You are so obnoxious.
There aren't many trailers that feel like a warm blanket, but this one does.
And that music, man, and that 80s house.
It's good stuff. But yeah, that must have been what I was thinking of. Was it's just like the one next to it. Little boxes.
And
all made of ticky-tacky.
All little boxes, little boxes. So this them stars Deborah Irindy.
Yeah.
Ashley Thomas. Allison Pill.
Oh, yes. Most recently on Picard.
Shahadi Wright, Joseph. That's one. That's like a three name. I know I paused weirdly.
You did.
So like Melody six hole. Hurd.
Six hole.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're six hole.
And Ryan Quanten is the last name. Oh, and it's on April 9th.
Coming up, yo.
So that's news that you can use.
That is news I can use. I was wondering about the date. Now I know.
Yeah.
So
I got one last piss of news.
One last piss of news.
This one was actually the first piss that I took today.
It was very concentrated, wasn't it? Very yellow.
So Ari Aster, the director of Midsommar and Hereditary, and you should check out if you like twist, like dark horror stuff. His shorts are also pretty super disturbing, actually.
His shorts are dark? But
disturbing.
His shorts...
Are they like a dark, like a brown? Like a dark brown?
Only in the back. That's we're poop children. Joke.
We are all over the age of 40.
I'm sorry, Ari Aster, if I ever meet you.
He constantly shits his pants, apparently. I mean, his shorts.
It's a choice.
That's where his horror comes from, just life experience.
The thing was, I was thinking it, the joke about disturbing shorts would be filled with poop. And I look at Freddie and I'm like, he's going to say it. And he did.
Yeah, see, what you read his mind. Yeah.
Kind of amazing like that.
Anyway.
So Ari Aster, who makes great movies, is developing a first look, a deal, with A24, which is the great studio. They've put out both of his feature films, but a television deal with his independent production banner Square Peg.
Square Peg. I have a production company called Round Hole.
Did you say spare a square peg?
No, I said, hey, you look real square peg.
I like spare a square peg.
Spare a square peg.
And then that mashes Married with Children and Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yeah, that was Elaine Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That would be a really hot prospect, you know what I mean?
So him and his producer, Lars Knudsen, are doing this development deal. And this is, you fucking, what the fuck, man? Okay, there. Sometimes stuff just happens.
Kelly Smeagol came out for a second. He's like, what's going on? Because he gets disoriented when he switches personalities.
Well, like, I'm looking at my phone. Like, if you press, like, I'm pressing my phone and all of a sudden the page just refreshes. Like,
oh, I hate that. Violently refreshes.
Like, it just disappears. The phone shakes in my hand and then it just pops right back up.
Let me ask you something. Do you use your reading mode on
all right.
On your
can you just let him finish?
Because that's
helps.
What I'm using.
Yeah.
I am using reading mode.
And it's still doing that bullshit.
Yeah. So
I'll write the letter for you.
Andy, it's time for us to just quit.
that Ari Aster and Lars Knudsen put out says, we're excited to team up with A24. Yeah, you are. What will be our first venture into TV? After having worked on several films together, we pride ourselves on being a home for artists, weirdos, and freaks, enabling them to realize their visions without compromise. And then A24 says, yeah, boy. No, they actually said it's great to be reteaming with Square Peg on their entree into television with their track record. Okay, so that doesn't really say anything. He's got a movie coming out called Disappointment Boulevard. That sounds cool.
Oh, it's probably right down the nearest Needle Street, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, they're catty corner too. They're parallel. They're at odds.
Disappointment Boulevard was the name of
down disappointment.
It was just
that's worse than toilet flush drive. Am I right?
Such
people?
A good metaphor.
What's fun is I'm always finding out whether this news is good or not because I don't read it first. So I thought they were going to tell you what this was going to be, and they didn't.
That's a long flush happening. That was a more satisfying.
Yeah. So well, anyway,
I think we're all in agreement. Anything Ari Aster does next, we're there.
Yeah, there. I love it.
I'm there.
He's my fave.
So there.
Yeah.
I like he's a weird little man you'd expect to see at Rosemary from Rosemary's Baby's party at her apartment in the Dakota. He looks like he hung out with Truman Capote when he was an essence. And not a man.
So
he looks like he was at all of Andy Warhol's parties.
Does he really?
Ari Aster? Uh-huh. He gives me the he has that Chelsea, New York vibe, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So is that all the news?
That's all the news.
I have some news.
Yeah?
Freddie and I watched Psycho Goreman.
Psycho Goreman.
Yeah.
How was that?
It's fantastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic. Freddie's like, make it a roulette, a selection or whatever. But I'm like, no. Andy, I just want to talk about it.
Yeah, I almost feel like I would love for you guys to see it. And we could do like maybe a bonus.
It's worth a rental.
Mm-hmm. We own
it. For sure. Yeah. We own it. But I'm telling the world. It's Psycho worth paying for. Yeah.
It's worth, honestly.
It'll probably end up on Shudder soon, but.
Yeah, it probably will. I'm really glad I bought it, on hindsight. Sometimes I'll buy movies because Amy, Andy, and Mike, and me, we all share that library. So, like, it's, you know, instead of one of us renting it, and then by the time two people rent it, you might as well buy it. So, but this one I will definitely watch again, maybe more than once, which is rare for me with most movies. Plus, the director plays the dad in it.
Oh, is that the director?
Yeah, I looked it up. He's just really, really good. Like, he's got good comedy.
It is the silliest horror movie. It will make you laugh. It will make you laugh.
If you're a fan of the Chris Elliott's kind of humor and Get a Life, it's very much up that alley.
Yeah.
Only if they weren't on broadcast TV, what they probably would have done with that show.
Yeah.
It'd have been real weird.
It's just real. Yeah, it is super weird. And the kids in it, like the little girl in that movie, she delivers a hell of a performance. And I don't mean like she's a great actor. I mean, like, I'll never forget this performance. It's it's like really over the top in a really like a creative way where some people might find that irritating or whatever, but like, I think the kid is great. She's like a little evil genius. She kind of reminds me of the youngest daughter on Blackish, the kind of like
Diane.
Yeah. Diane from Blackish, where she has the, you know, just that dark streak, kind of like
the budding serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Psycho Goreman.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho Goreman. It
has a rap in the closing credits. You know how they used to have the raps?
Oh, yeah.
It raps about what happened in the movie. Yeah.
Say what they want to say. Slap a friend. Slap a friend.
That's what I thought you were talking about. They rap? Oh, how fun.
No, the character, it's a rap about the movie. It's very much...
The Secret of the Ooze.
An old style. It's a very 80s, 90s
it's
style.
It's very 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
They do what they want.
Is that a good song?
No.
Is that from the Turtles in time?
It was good
That was Adam's Family.
That's right.
That's MC Hammer.
Yeah.
They do what they want to do, say what they want to say, be who they want to be.
You know
what they want to dance, kick, and they slap a friend.
From that era, do you remember Small Soldiers, the Joe Dante movie?
I do.
That had a cool soundtrack. And if you remember, they had that remix of Wyclef and Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah.
And they had you know what I'm talking about? That cover version. It's a weird blend of mashup and cover. It's really cool. But the Small Soldier soundtrack, I just remember really enjoying it.
Don't forget the gold standard, Too Hot to Handle, Too Cool to Hold.
Oh.
They call the Ghostbusters and they're in control. Kind of throwing a party for a bunch of children. All the while, Slime is under the building. So they pack up the crew, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs in their back, and they split. But
that next part, is it Bobby Brown? And I always thought he was saying, Bawadadaw, Weeble.
Vigo. Well, it's other Vigo, Master of Evil.
Yeah.
Try to mess with my boys.
Yeah.
That's not legal.
What was that?
That's not legal.
Well,
I guess we're gonna have to take it out.
It sounded like Freddie said Ba with the Ba.
I actually remembered the lyric about Vigo the other day, and now I can't.
Where did you slip on the toilet and you remembered the lyric and then you also saw the flux capacitor?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you fell down a well and your eyes went crossed again.
Yep. I wish I, because you can't understand how often that I'm actually doing that little rap.
Well, it's interesting that we're doing it right now. And then you're like the other day when I was doing this.
Yeah.
If it's up to us, we've got to take control.
Gotta take control.
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't know, Weeble.
No, and I know exactly what you mean because I was always like, but all about Vigo, the master of evil.
Yeah.
But I know it's not all about Vigo.
That sounds right.
I'll tell you what.
Yours makes more sense.
It's all about Vigo.
Yeah.
If you couldn't see Freddy's and Kelly's dancing.
Audubon, Vigo. It's just, I don't know.
He's burned up like a weenie and his name is Fred.
That's right. We could do all the 80s and 90s horror raps.
It's a nightmare on my street.
You guys just turned into little boys, and it's really, really cute. Andy and I are wizened old spinsters.
Yeah.
We're the parents upstairs. And we're young guys, and the kids in the basement, like, hey, it's time to go to bed.
Let us play Will Smith's Jay for the Fresh Prince at this time.
This is the last sleepover you guys are having.
What about,
what is this game?
I love the man behind the mask from Jason Lives. Remember that in the Alice Cooper music video where it's like, well, it's late at night.
Remember the song. I don't remember it going with the movie.
Oh yeah, he even samples the Harry Manfredini.
Oh, I believe you.
Licks in it.
I'm not a Friday 13th person.
Not a Friday fan. It disappoints me every time.
I can make you a Friday fan.
You won't.
In just 7 days, I can make you a fan.
There you go. You found it. That was good,
man.
Thank you.
But it's just not gonna happen. I do like things about Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
What if I broke into an entire musical number based on Make You a Man from Rocky Horror Picture Show that laid out the plot and what's great about the 11 or 12 Friday the 13th movies.
Well, I would like that, but I wouldn't want to watch any of the movies.
Oh, okay. What if I played a clip from them while I sang it? And I wore stockings, thigh-high fishnets. I did the whole Frankenfurter get up.
I
did a kick line, but behind me.
Yeah, and that would be all about that. I would watch right. that. That'd but then if you're better. Like, now sit down to a new beginning, I'd be like, no.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Just try.
What if you could see them through my eyes as a child? If I can invent a device.
Well, can you get me the Strange Days hairnet?
Yeah, basically the same thing.
If you can get that and go back in time and wear it on your little boy head.
What if it was
bring it back in time and put it on my adult man head so that my adult man head can share your little boy head?
What if I was when I was a sickly kid, and then we go back and we've linked their bodies and brains up like this, and the times that I saw those Friday the 13th movies,
that way too?
We could also probably play Contra together. But I'm thinking you get into my 6-year old body, and the reason I'm seeing all these Friday the 13th movies is because I'm homesick with explosive diarrhea. That's the part they don't put on the label when you bought this particular Neural Net Strange Days program. They're like, just mention the scary happening. Movies and how scared he was and how much fun right. he had. What about all the diarrhea? Don't put the diarrhea on the label. We're going to bank on the movie selling it. And people won't complain too much because they're like, well, that was fun. Now I'm scared of a guy in a hockey mask. And then they don't think about the fact they're laying in their own effluence on their mom's couch. They're not.
I can resell that if it's the device. How great is it to experience diarrhea? But the relief of waking up from your experience and realizing you didn't diarrhea. You were just experiencing someone else's diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
So your pants are clean.
But what if it becomes a Final Destination situation where because you escape the consequences.
You escape the diarrhea, it's going to come and get you?
The diarrhea will continue to come for you in the exact order.
You're going to go to a Skyline Chili establishment, and you're going to go in. And you're just barely going to you're going to order the chili. But earlier we see that they use old meat or something.
Well, actually, I'm thinking more that the diarrhea has manifested as a physical shape that actually pursues you. So you're at Skyline Chili and then they're like, how many? And you're like one. And then but you hear behind you goes two and you turn around and there's this floating orb of sentient diarrhea. And it's like, you thought you escaped my clutches in your Strange Days neural net when you were learning to love Friday the 13th.
What if you pull out a small bottle of Pepto-Bismol and you throw it upon it like holy water on Dracula?
That's exactly what kills him. You figured it out.
But you have to know that. Not everybody knows
that. You get
that.
A slow clap from him right after you pour it on him and diarrhea splatters and all the people in Skyline Chili, but they don't know if it's chili. Yeah. They're like, is it the diarrhea thing that was in here earlier or is it chili?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you so much. Who do you hate?
Andy, this is an improv. It's storytelling.
Sure.
Don't denigrate. What we do, the craft that we...
Maybe I probably need to be high like you guys right now.
That was actually scripted. Hey. That was not improv. We got together earlier this week.
That's true. They've been having little secret meetings. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, here's where I'm going to talk about the floating sentient diarrhea orb, and I don't want you to laugh.
I couldn't. Yeah, in the first draft, it was Gold Star.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I changed it to Skyline because it's more well-known.
It is. Do yourself a favor. And plus, it's Skyline Chili.
And it's just better than Gold Star too.
If I'm being honest, I told the boys the other day, there is really almost no difference between the two, except in my opinion, that Skyline has two or three restaurants that are genuinely better than the run of the mill restaurant, and Gold Star doesn't. So most Skylines and Gold Stars, I feel like, are the same quality, but Skyline has three restaurants where it's better. And Gold Star just doesn't.
I'll tell you, if you've never had Dixie Chili, it's like a Skyline, but better.
There are a lot of other smaller Cincinnati chili options that are better than both of them around here. So
I do love Skyline, though. That's just
You can. I like both of them.
It's a listener.
Just right.
A lot of you are like, yeah, we get it. You have your weird chili. But just look it up. That's Cincinnati chili or Southwest Ohio chili. But
Cincinnati chili.
Cincinnati chili.
Everyone in Ohio tries to claim it for some reason, but
there's
a
chili parlor in an area of town called Camp Washington Chili.
Camp Washington Chili, very good, 24-hour.
And apparently,
but gritty.
It is a gritty neighborhood.
No, I meant the chili is gritty.
Oh. The neighborhood is also very gritty. Yeah.
But great eggs.
There's a mural up near it. I didn't realize this because I haven't been down in that area in forever.
It was when we recorded the album. That was the last time I ate there.
And it's the mural they have up in honor of Camp Washington, the area, is like George Washington. It's a campy Washington mural. So George Washington is wearing like a dress. And there's like campy things in the mirror. Oh, fuck. If I'm not doing a good job.
It's a fun area because there's Ultra Suede Studios.
It's like
there.
Yeah.
If you are a Afghan Wigs fan, what did he move out?
I don't think Ultra Suede exists anymore.
No. But somebody's in that space now, I guess.
It's like 15 years ago, honey.
I'm sure that
it was
space.
It more than 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
But, back, it was used to be Ultra Suede. Now it's probably something else. But I doubt they would have lost that space because it's very historically important to music. But that whole area over there is really cool. And then there's that Camp Washington Chili. We ate there every day for how many of our days we were recording. I think we recorded over a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
And their chili has like a little grit in it where it feels like little pieces of bone or something to me.
Maybe that's how they flavor it.
I never experienced that. The last time I ate at Camp Washington Chili was a band thing where we went after a show because and it was open 24 hours. I guess it still is. They would put chili on your hash browns if you wanted.
Yeah, or your eggs.
Or your eggs. I got it. Yeah, I would mix it all together. It was real good.
Yeah, they're like, do you want this to look like someone shat on it? That's I'm what like, they should have called it, the shatted on platter on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a platter of everything breakfast food with a splatter of Cincinnati chili on top.
You can get corn added to it if you want.
It's like I don't remember ordering corn. It just shows up.
Camp Crystal Lake chili.
Okay. I think we're drawing to the end of the show here. So Freddie,
you got a lot today, listeners.
Yeah. So much.
Yeah.
Hey, what a ride.
What a ride. Really.
So, Freddie, you have the Topicana question.
Oh, that's
for us.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you reminded me because I was having so much fun.
What's your favorite chili?
All right. This one. No, that's a good one. do you want one? This is either going to be a serious question or a really fun question. The serious one will be interesting. I think it'll be an interesting conversation will come out of it. The fun one is just fun.
So there's two questions.
I'm asking you guys to pick so I can between. I have I have it down to two questions. One of them is probably super silly. Will be a super silly episode. The other one could actually be emotional and deep.
My vote would probably.
I feel that we always make it silly regardless.
That's true.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I would lean towards silly, but I could go either way.
I would lean towards silly.
Silly. Yeah. All right, that's
two.
That's two, and I don't get a vote. So
I was gonna vote for Camp Washington Chili.
All right, you ready? And again, I steal these from Reddit. I want to make sure I give credit where Reddit is credit.
But now you should do the other one for the next. Now that should like lock that in.
I will. What's the most outrageous fake rumor you can come up with about a celebrity?
Okay.
You got until tomorrow night. We'll figure that out. The most outrageous fake rumor you can come up with about a celebrity stolen from Reddit.
It would be funny if these actually started getting out into the world and people believed it.
I'm going to make sure that we are very clear about that when we do it.
If you don't already know about the Tom Cruise fish rumors, you couldn't come up with anything crazier, but we'll see.
I'm afraid that we're going to be the next QAnon and we're going to start all this cult.
Yeah.
We are charismatic. People would follow us.
Truth.
Alrighty. Do we know what our theme is yet for next month?
Did we lock it in last night, Andy? Do you feel like
I don't remember a thing last night.
Well, we were talking about doing our gangs theme.
Mm.
Is that something that everybody's cool with?
Well, I don't know what that means.
Month?
Give me an example.
Gangs would be something in the vein of The Warriors. That's a gang movie. Or in particular, the reason that I wanted to do this theme was because of Bronx Warriors, that movie that made me, it brought me a whole lot of joy. So I'd love to do that theme and maybe kick it off with that movie.
Which, like a Mad Max, like a Madden, would Mad Max fit?
Mad Max would fit, yeah. So it's
Assault
basically
on Precinct 13.
Assault on Precinct 13 would fit.
Gangs of New York, because it's already in the title.
Yeah, any anything where
bangs. Gangs,
oh, oh my god, Andy.
Are a big part of it.
All right, well, we're joining a gang next month.
That's right. We're gonna
get jumped in.
Out in the streets.
Yep.
There's violence.
Oh, that's funny because that's my favorite part of that song.
Me too.
Every time I sing along with it, that's like I'm like out in the streets. I try to make it as great.
Yeah.
So this movie from 1982, 1990, The Bronx Warriors.
That's very confusing. I like when they say tomorrow on today.
Tomorrow on today. It's Enzo G. Castellari, who also directed The Last Shark with
our favorite
Vic Morrow. And this Vic Morrow is also in this, but so is Fred Williamson and Christopher Connolly. And all it's right. Just a lot of fun.
Are these names I should know?
I don't know them.
Well, you know,
I mean, you would know. Should know Vic Morrow and Fred Williamson.
Fred Williamson, yeah, you know, Shaft, John Shaft, wasn't that Fred Williamson?
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't for Shaft. That was somebody else.
That's but
he
was Richard Roundtree, I think, was Shaft.
No,
right?
Oh, yes.
Why am I drawing a blank on this?
Fred Williamson was in Dusk Till Dawn. That's
Samuel
probably
Jackson was Shaft.
He did some other blaxploitation stuff, but
all right, we'll figure this all out next week when we talk about this movie.
Yeah, Richard Roundtree.
Okay.
So
yeah,
not Fred Williamson.
You bunch of monkeys.
God, I love those movies.
Running around and flinging shit.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of every show, we always say special hello to our Beelzebubs. Again, patreon.com/NOTLP if you want to do the thing with the money.
Hello, hello.
All right, we're going to start.
Is that a 13-13 reference?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, hello. We're going to start. It's happening. Elise.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Elise.
Hey, girl.
Amanda.
Amanda, I feel like you've inspired me. I kind of want chickens. She has chickens.
Well, you can have chickens. Don't ask me to mess with the chickens.
All right.
You keep Elsa away from
not
them.
Eating chickens, egging chickens.
Ernest. Hello.
They're not singing chickens. They're stabbing chickens.
Mm-hmm. Ernie Boberry. Fanana
Marquatz.
Fana, Mark Watts. Me, my Bill Farner. Blake Heath.
Going.
Yeah, keep going. Tree and Alex McNulty.
Oh,
you think I'm gonna do the whole name game song with them?
Oh, yeah. you threw a wrench.
You got me all excited.
Oh, I'm sorry. That just came out.
You can't force it. I get it.
You gotta just let these things happen naturally.
We're greedy.
You gotta sit on the silly toilet and wait for silly to come out sometimes.
Well, you should go to the silly skyline.
What a shitty episode.
Oh.
We've talked about shit a lot.
Jeffel, hello.
Is there something you want to tell us, Freddie?
What do you mean about poop?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about poop.
Listeners of last Can't week's Origins it? Episode will know why poop is so top shit. Of mind in Freddie's life. Iona Goodwin.
Iona, great
one.
Totally great.
Brandon, we read your email.
The
hello
best.
Again.
Thank you.
Adam Ingram. Hello, sir.
What up?
Bill Chandler. I can't do that for very long.
You can't do it?
I don't have that.
That was
kinda
pretty good.
Yeah. Freddie, can you scroll?
Oh, you know I can. I did.
Blaine Turner.
Blaine, Blaine, Blaine.
Monica.
Nice. Hey, girl.
Alyssa, hi.
Hi.
Brian.
Mm-hmm. You're there, and I like you.
Mm-hmm. That was very Mr. Rogers.
But it also sounded vaguely threatening.
You're there.
Or erotic.
Like oh, I like you. I think I'm going to have you tonight.
Then we have Carla, who we read
Hi, Carla.
Earlier. Thank you. And Izzy.
Hi there.
Thank you all so much.
Thanks.
We do appreciate
you. Each and every one of you. I'm sorry this was
hard-earned dough.
Such a
you want to say shit show
episode, but I think we had fun.
I had a good time.
We had good laughs.
That was good times.
Good times. Great country.
Bye.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed.